Just a couple of things. This is Thanksgiving week, and we want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone, however you choose to celebrate that. We pray your Thanksgiving Day will be a wonderful time. If it's just a smaller version of what you normally do, or if you have others' plans made. Don't forget the offering box here and in the foyer. If you have an offering, please remember to put it in the box before you leave or bring it up anytime. It helps us continue to keep the bills paid, take care of our staff, and make sure all of our obligations are taken care of. And we appreciate your faithfulness. And whether you send that through the mail or on Tithely or drop it off or bring it to the service, it is very, very essential and helpful during this time right now. And we appreciate all of the extra that you do as well. So thank you very much for that. And it's hard to believe that it's Thanksgiving time already. It's hard to believe. And that before you know it, we'll be into December. And we've been through some strange times. My goodness, strange times. We're still in them. But God is still God. Amen? God is still God. I've been on several Zoom calls this week with pastors, as I normally are throughout the week, both locally and regionally and nationally. And the overriding theme that all our pastors are saying, these pastors are saying, is that God's got this. God's in control, and we're going to trust Him through it. Amen? Trust Him through all these things, not just the COVID thing, but the election and just different things, the upheaval we see in our cities and all of that. But we have to personally make sure that we are calling out on the Lord. This is a time for prayer. It's a time for God's people to be people of prayer. Amen? If ever we need to be people of prayer, it's now. And so I want to encourage you to take some time every day if you can to spend time with the Lord and praying not only for your needs and how you are to be in this day, but also pray for our church and our leaders and for our nation and for all those in authority. We're told to pray for them. Amen? We're not told to agree with them, but we're told to pray for them. Amen. And so thank you for doing that. This morning I want to speak a message to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 16. So if you would turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I've been thinking about this passage all week, and then Eddie called and asked if I could fill in for him. He was scheduled today and next week, but some things came up, and so they couldn't be here. So I said I'd be glad to do that, son. I want to talk about the dungeon songs. The dungeon songs. Acts chapter 16. And you'll recognize the passage right away. I'm not going to read the entire context of the passage. I'll talk about that in a moment. But starting at verse 25. And I will do that as soon as I clear my glasses. I'm just going to have to get that bigger print Bible. All right, here we go. Verse 25 of Acts chapter 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, it won't be on the screen, but go back one verse to 24. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So not only were they in prison, they were in the inner prison, which was probably a dungeon. Back to 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I think that's the cry of a lot of people today. What must I do to be saved? So they said, and it's one of the most simple expressions of how to be saved that we find in Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Isn't that wonderful? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. The story of the Philippian jailer. It's an incredible story of God's provision. And I've called it the dungeon songs or the situation solution. The situation that they were in and how God solved that situation. Why were they there? Why were Paul and Silas in prison? And this is being written by Luke. Timothy is probably with them at this time, and so they're probably on the outside looking in, and Paul and Silas will recount the story to Luke, and he will record it for us, who wrote the book of Acts. But why were they there? If you read earlier in the passage, you'll find that the Holy Spirit had spoken to Paul and said, I want you to go to Macedonia. And I want you to do what you're planning, but I want to change your plans, and I want you to go to Macedonia. And he received a vision, what we call the Macedonian call. And so he will travel along with Silas, probably Luke, maybe some others, and Timothy. And they will end up in Philippi. Now Philippi will become one of the more established churches that Paul will found. And as a matter of fact, when you read the book of Philippians, to many people, that's their favorite book in the New Testament, is the book of Philippians. And it begins with a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, who is down at the river. Paul and Silas will go down there to where they normally give praise to God and worship to God, and they'll find her, and she's a believer in Jehovah God, but she's never accepted Christ. So they will lead her to the Lord. And Lydia will become a leader of that church. As a matter of fact, when you read later in chapter 16, it looks like she establishes the church first in her home and becomes maybe its first pastor. And so Lydia is very important. And then they go into town, and they are followed around by this young lady. She's called a girl, but she's a young lady, and she's demon-possessed, and she begins to praise Paul and Silas. These are men of God. Listen to them. Listen to them. And she just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it. And really, it's the enemy trying to deceive them, trying to pull them out, trying to maybe make them feel more important than they are, etc. And finally, Paul has enough of it. And he recognizes that this young girl is not speaking, but it's the demonic powers that are speaking through her. And I really believe we're seeing some of that today in our nation. I believe that we are seeing demonic spirits speaking through people, and we need to be very careful what we're listening to. And if it's not directly demon-possessed, it's at least demon-inspired. And Paul recognizes it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he casts those demons out of that young girl, and she collapses on the ground. And all of a sudden, her owners are really upset because they have lost their source of revenue because they had used her and abused her, used her to play on the people's fears, and the demonic power within her would say things and prophesy things and tell things. It's like that commercial the other day I saw about California psychics. And these actors on there, oh, they were so accurate, they were so good. And I thought to myself, how long did you talk to them before they did anything? They found out more about you, and it's, how much is it per hour? It's like a buck a minute or something like that. And I thought, how many people are deceived by what I believe is demonic-inspired messages to try to draw people away from the voice of the Lord? So, if you called California Psychics this week, I don't apologize for saying this. You need to see me. I have a much better way of investing your money. Put a buck in that box. No, I'm kidding. that kind of stuff, you can't believe the appeal that has. And why does it? It breaks your heart when you think about it. The appeal that has is because people are begging, how do I be saved? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? I got to know. And so instead of turning to the Lord, which can really help people, they're turning to psychics, or they're turning to this, or turning to that, or that voice. And that's what these people were using this young lady for, and Paul just destroyed their business by delivering her from the power of God. And we assume, I think tradition holds, that she became a member of that church. I don't know that for sure, but I think tradition holds that she became a member of that church. So here you got a church started. One is a very wealthy lady who sells purple cloth, and a little former demon-possessed girl who is now in love with Jesus. Amen? It's a good start for a church. But it makes the magistrates, those in authority, mad, because there's this big uproar over what they did. And so the magistrates come and they take Paul and Silas and they flog them, they beat them, and then they command that they be thrown into prison. And not just prison, but the prison within the prison, the dungeon, if you will. That's how they got there. What did they do there? Well, that's really the key of the story. Here they are in prison, the dungeon. They are shackled. They've been beaten, been flogged. And you can use your imagination to describe the conditions of the dungeon that they're in. You know, I don't even want to go there, but you can imagine. They have every reason to feel sorry for themselves. They have every reason to say, Lord, why me? I've been doing good. I've been preaching gospel. Through your power, we delivered this young girl from demon possession. Lydia is one to the Lord. We started a church, and now we're in the dungeon. Why? Don't raise your hands, but how many have ever had those why times when you wondered, why am I in the situation that I'm in? I haven't done anything, and I seem to be the victim here. But guess what? Paul and Silas are giving no time to being victimized. Instead, they decide, we're going to be the victors in this. And so what do they start doing? In prison, in the dungeon, they begin to pray and they begin to sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. They begin to sing and they begin to pray to the Lord. But not only that, but it's important, I think, that we recognize and we see that it was at the midnight hour. The middle of the night, you're supposed to be sleeping, supposed to be quiet. But Paul and Silas begin to sing hymns and praises to the Lord. And what are they singing? What hymns are they singing? We don't know for sure. Most of the hymns of this time period were the Psalms. The Psalms was their songbook, and they're probably reading singing some Psalms. Probably chanting out the words of one of the powerful Psalms, maybe the Psalms that I'll quote at the end of this message. But irregardless of what they were doing, what they were singing, they were singing, right? They were singing in the middle of the dungeon. They were singing with chains wrapped around them. They were praying to the Lord, and then they would sing some more. And the prison was listening. Prison was listening. Prisoners. Now the jailer had gone to sleep. He probably figured those guys were drunk. You know, he probably figured that they were whatever, but the prisoners were listening, and so they were singing. I want to take a moment and say what was the song, and I'm going to give you some thoughts of mine, the dungeon song. But before I go through this list, the question: Have you ever been in a dungeon? Not literally, but have you ever been in a dungeon? Have you ever been in a time where you didn't do anything wrong, but you find yourself in this rough situation? The chains are on. You don't know what you're going to do. And you've been mistreated, misjudged, spoken ill of, whatever. You've been in a dungeon wondering what's going to happen. Maybe this goes back to what we sang about, thinking about the times the Lord helped you and rescued you. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. and I think many of you have as well, what would we sing about? What would we sing about when we're facing some difficult times? When I can share this now, when little Connor was recently real sick, or it appeared he was real sick, and he had to go to the hospital. And so I was at home. I couldn't go because of some situations. And it was late at night. And no one was there but me. But I began to be so burdened as Grandpa. And I don't think I shared this with Connor's parents or my wife at all. But I began to walk the floor in prayer. Began to walk through the house. We live in a little house. It's about 1,000 square feet. We lived there for a long, long time, and it's home. And so the hallway's not real long. So I'd go the hallway, the kitchen, the family room, the hallway, the kitchen, the family. And I'd begin to walk, and I'd begin to pray, and begin to cry. And I'd begin to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And I would lift little Connor up before the Lord and say, "God, touch him. God, touch him." And I would walk a little more, and as I think about it, it was probably around midnight. And I would sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And I would just begin to sing, and then I would pray, and would lift little Connor up before the Lord. And it's what I do when any of my grandchildren are sick or ill. I will lift them up before the Lord, and the Lord will put a song in my heart, and I'll begin to sing it as praise to him. And as it turned out, Connor is fine. And the next day he was more than fine. And I think Sharina called and said, "Can you help me with this boy who is really fine?" You've been there, haven't you? You've done that. You've done that for a loved one. And God maybe put a song, and maybe it's not a song like I quoted, but maybe it's just a song that was written once in your heart, in your mind. It will never go again. It'll never be sang again. But for that moment, it was a song that you had. It was a dungeon song, and God used it and brought you deliverance and victory. Amen? So, what was this dungeon song? Number one, it was a song of victory. Paul and Silas knew that God was going to help them. They knew without doubt they were going to have victory in this situation because they had been there before, and they knew Peter had been there before earlier in the book of Acts, and so they knew it was a song of victory. Number two, it was a song of praise. It was a song of praise. It was a song that gave praise to God even when the situation was difficult. Even when the situation was hopeless, it was a song of praise. Let me stop there and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And let me read it. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Paul would write these words. I believe they'll be on the screen. It's a song of victory. Two, it's a song of praise. Verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Listen, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That is exactly what Paul and Silas were doing in the dungeon. Amen? They were singing psalms and spiritual songs of praise to one another. And they were submitting to each other, they were submitting to God. It was a song of praise. They were doing exactly what Paul would tell the church in Ephesus to do. Number three, it was a song of courage. It was a song of courage. No doubt they were wondering, though they were not worrying, no doubt, but they were probably wondering what would happen, what would be the next step. It was a song of courage. They were encouraging themselves in the Lord. They were asking the Lord for courage to face whatever it is that they might have to face. Number four, it was a song of trust. They were trusting in the Lord. They knew that even though this was bad right now, they could trust in the Lord. How many know trust is important whether it's good time or bad time? Amen? You know, trust doesn't just come in the good times. Trust comes in the bad times as well. So it was a song of trust. Number five, it was a song of deliverance. They knew from the Old Testament passages and even some of the psalms they were probably singing that songs of deliverance were important. As a matter of fact, one of the psalms talks about the Babylonian captivity, and it says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We took our harps and we hung them on the willow bushes because our enemy wanted us to sing for them, wanted us to entertain for them. But he said, how can we sing the Lord's song when we are captive? This is one example of how you can do that. You take your harp off the willow and you begin to sing even though you are in the enemy's camp, because it's a song of deliverance, knowing God was going to get him out of there one way or another. Amen. That's why we sing sometimes when it's hard to sing, when we're in the dungeon. We sing to the Lord. We pray to the Lord because we know He will deliver us. Hallelujah. My God will deliver us. Number six, it was a song of joy. There was a joy in the dungeon. How can that be? How can you have joy in your heart when you're in the dungeon? How can you have joy in your heart when you're in a hard time? How can you have the joy of the Lord when you're going through problems? It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Lord is there, and there could be a joy. And it may not be a ha-ha-ha kind of joy, but it's a joy that's down deep inside that the enemy can't touch because God put it there. Amen? Amen. And then number seven, it is a song of obedience. In Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 and 40 and 42, I believe it'll be on the screen. It is remembering when Peter was in prison. And when they had told Peter, they said, the government had said, you will never teach in Jesus' name again. That's what they told him. Don't ever do that again. I never thought there'd be a day that I would say this, but I'm going to say it, and I mean it. We may be facing that day in this nation. We may be facing that day sometime in the future in this nation. And the decision will be, what are we going to do? And I pray our response will be as Peter's response in Acts chapter 5 when he said, you call it what you want it, but we can't help. It is better to obey God than to obey man. And that's what he did. Better to obey God. Better to obey God. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to do that? They were. And so they put him in prison. But even in prison, they continued to sing the songs of obedience. And so it was a song of victory, praise, courage, trust, deliverance, joy, and obedience. Paul and Silas were singing a song of obedience. They had been obedient to the Lord. They had heard the Macedonian call. Remember chapter 16. I want you to go to Macedonia. They did. And in that Macedonian area, they went to Philippi. And they had obeyed the Lord. They went down to the river and they found Lydia. And then the young girl, they delivered her. They were obeying the Lord. And the price of their obedience was the dungeon. But that's okay, because God is the God of deliverance. They obeyed. And then what happened? What happened? An earthquake. They sang and prayed at midnight, and suddenly there was an earthquake. Oh boy, that was a good accident. I don't believe it was an accident. I believe it was well-timed. As a matter of fact, there's a number of earthquakes that happen in Scripture. Amen? There just happened to be an earthquake when Jesus said, "It is finished." Kind of split the temple curtain, right? There just happened to be an earthquake at the resurrection. There just happened to be an earthquake. There just happened to be an earthquake. No, they just didn't happen. I know earthquakes happen. We had one here the other day. Did you feel it? It was a ringer. 1.2 or something like that. We didn't even feel it. But we may have one. I mean, we sit right on a fault line, folks. That's why years ago, you can't get it now. You can't get insurance for earthquakes now. But years ago, I knew about the Cascadia fault line, and I got earthquake insurance for our church. And we still have it. Very few churches have it anymore because you can't get it, but we're grandfathered in, so we have it. So we're ready. Not right now. No, Lord help us. I pray we never have to go through that. Really, I don't. But what I'm saying to you, earthquakes happen. They happen. But this one was no accident. And now, was it localized to just the dungeon? Or did the city feel it? I don't know. I kind of think it was localized right to that little area. I don't know. But whatever it was enough of a jolter to knock their chains loose and fling those doors off their hinges. Hallelujah. That sounds like God to me. Amen? There was an earthquake. The jailer was saved, and his whole household was saved. Not his wife. And when you read that household, they didn't have to get saved. All the original language of that implies that it was their choosing. The servants of the household, everyone, chose to give their hearts to Jesus. It was a revival, praise God. And all of a sudden, the Philippian church is now Lydia, a little delivered girl, and now a jailer in his house. And now the church has, because of that earthquake, has grown exponentially. Hallelujah. And it will go on to grow because of God's great blessings. And so at the midnight hour, they sang and they praised the Lord. And God delivered them and gave us this wonderful way to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you say, well, that's easy. I believe. Yeah, I'll believe. Well, remember that word believe means to trust in and rely upon and to follow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. How many are saved today? Amen. Because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you couldn't raise your hand, you can be saved today. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you on the cross. Believe that He has a plan for your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to wash you white as snow, and He will do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would touch right now anyone in this building who needs to be saved. I ask you, Lord, to help them believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe someone is listening right now to the broadcast. I pray, Lord, that you would come and be their Savior. Lord, our nation is crying out, "What can I do to be saved?" Here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you for your salvation. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. So what's the lesson for us as we wrap up this morning from this story? Let me give you my thoughts. First of all, we can trust God when we are in a dungeon situation. We can trust Him. He's going to get us through it. One way or the other. And when you look back that direction and you see what God has done and how God's helped you, it's going to be amazing to you. It's going to be amazing to you when you look back. The look forward doesn't look real good maybe right now, but when you look back someday, you're going to see how God brought you out of that dungeon. Number two, we can have a song at the midnight hour. I love that. Amen? We can have a song at the midnight hour. There can be something within us that speaks to God's majesty and His mercy. And you don't even have to be able to, you don't even have to sing good. And I can testify to that. You can be off key. You can, matter of fact, you can invent your own key. It doesn't matter because you're singing to the Lord. Amen? You're singing to the Lord. Number three, God can bring an earthquake to help us if need be. Wow. I've seen a few earthquakes, not literal earthquakes, but I've seen God do some earth-splitting things when He's brought some help and deliverance to us. I could tell you stories. I won't take time this morning, but I could tell you stories. You were that are newer to Landmark or even within the last 10 years. We could tell you some stories, right, Bernie, of how God came through for us here. Pretty amazing. It was like an earthquake when He came through. And then lastly, people can be blessed by our situation solution. What was the solution to the situation of the jailer or of Paul and Silas in that prison? It's what we just described, and people were blessed by it. The prisoners, the magistrates. When they finally get out of prison, the magistrate says, "Bring them to us." And they brought Paul and Silas, and they said, "We want you to get out of town." And Paul said, "No, we're not going to leave town. I'm a Roman citizen. And you threw me in jail unjustly without any legal remedy." And the magistrates got really afraid because that could be punished very severely. And the magistrate said, "We didn't know you were a Roman citizen." He said, you bet you didn't know. And I'm staying. I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church. And it may be made up of little demon-possessed girls that are now free and prisoners that were in prison and a jailer and Lydia. But we're gonna build a church here. Let me close by reading to you what may have been, it may not have been, but it may have been one of the songs they sang in prison, or two of them maybe. Psalms 134 and Psalms 135, the first three verses. I believe those will be on the screen. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." How many know a dungeon can be a sanctuary if God's there? Amen? And then the first three verses of the next psalm. "Praise the name of the Lord." It's almost a repetition. "Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant." That's exactly what Paul and Silas were doing. They were lifting up the name of Jesus. They were lifting up their hands, even with chains. And they were praising the name of the Lord in that dungeon. And because of it, God brought them great deliverance. And then down to verse 5. "I know that the Lord is great. Our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places." Praise God. God is great. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the dungeon songs. Thank you for the songs you put in our hearts. They may not be written on paper, may not have all of the notes on them, on the lines. Lord, they may never be published. More than likely, they won't. But Lord, you give us songs in the night. You give us songs in the midnight hour. Songs of deliverance. Songs of confidence. Songs of praise. Right now, Lord, I may be speaking to one person. I may be speaking to half a dozen. I may be speaking to 30 or more. I don't know that. But I may be speaking to someone who needed to hear these words. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and seal them to their heart and their life and their situation. Give them the songs in the midnight hour that will free them from the dungeon. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and free them from the bondages of worry, doubt, and fear. I pray, O God, that you would bring victory for them somehow, some way. Lord, we put the situation they're in your hands. As Paul and Silas put their situation in the hands of a great God, and you brought them out so victoriously. So, Lord, I believe you will do for God's people today. I thank you, Lord, that we've had the opportunity to be in church together. As so many in our community are in church right now, in their churches. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will help us to cherish this privilege that we have. But know that church is really, our sanctuary can be anywhere. We're in a sanctuary here, and we thank you for that. But we can have a sanctuary in our car. A sanctuary can be our bedroom. It can be our living room. It can be anywhere we're at, where God puts a song in our hearts and we begin to worship and praise Almighty God. And we thank you for that. Doesn't take the place of being together here. That's very important and scriptural. But Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let it be a sanctuary, a place of your presence, a place, Lord, where you come. I thank you for that today. So go with us, strengthen each one, give them courage and encouragement. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 All right, mask up. God bless you. You're dismissed. Make your way home. Have a great afternoon. Blessings to each of you today.